1 Corinthians 3:5. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Let us pray. Father, we ask that you would bless the reading and preaching of your word tonight. We pray, Lord, that you would bring forth fruit and use us to be good seed sowers this week. Bless the song we're about to hear and then the message tonight from your word. And Lord, I pray that the result of all of this would be more people hearing the gospel, trusting Christ as Savior, and having a home in heaven. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. I've had the privilege of spending several harvest seasons on the farm, and I can tell you the one emotion that wells up inside of a farmer when the wheat is turning white or when the beans are setting full on the vine, the emotion is an emotion of intensity. And the farmers begin to fire up their equipment. By the way, on the farms where I spent my time, the equipment was not orange like the picture you're seeing tonight. It was green. Godly green. Obviously, a city slicker that's never harvested put that slide up there tonight. Looks like a Tonka toy or something up there. But we fired up John Deere Green and made sure it was running and ready to go. And we'd get out into the fields because you had just a limited period of time. You didn't want to wait for the rain to come and spoil the harvest. I've seen on occasion where a hailstorm has come. And literally the hail has knocked the beans off of the plants before they could ever be placed into the combine, and literally tens of thousands of dollars just lay wasted in the field because the timing was missed. And so it is with soul winning. There are certain seasons, certain moments. And this is a month and this is a week where with intensity we go out into our field. We said last week that the field is not always intended to be easy. There's no easy field. If you're looking for the easy field, you might as well give up on being a part of the harvest. There's nothing easy about it. But the great thing is tonight that with God's help, there is a harvest still to be brought in for His glory. I want to take a few moments with you tonight and share some truths about the harvest that I trust will be a help to all of us this week. I want you to notice the Bible's teaching in verse 5. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I want you to notice, first of all, tonight, the partners in the harvest. The Bible speaks about this partnership, Paul and Apollos. Who are they, the Bible says, and really speaking to the fact that they are partners in the harvest. It's not really even about them, and it's not about me, and it's not about you. It's not about any individual. It's about the fact that as partners, we are ministers together. We are laborers together with God. Paul and Apollos had different personalities, backgrounds, and experiences, yet God had called them to serve together. You know, one of the things I love about Lancaster Baptist Church is that there's people here from every background tonight. There's people here from every ethnic background and every work background and every age background. And isn't that a wonderful thing? And God brings us together with a common purpose, and that is to bring in the harvest of souls. The Bible says in Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to be a minister, and to give His life a ransom for many." And so it is we have the privilege to serve. And we have often said over the years, every member a minister. Let's say that together. Every member, a minister. All of us are ministers together. All of us are partners together. And God uses every individual's every effort and gift and every opportunity so that the harvest may come in for His honor and glory. We are ministers. But notice also we are witnesses. The Bible says something in verse 5. It says, "Who then is Paul and Apollos, but ministers?" Now please capture this phrase. "But ministers by whom ye believe." Would you say that with me, please? By years ago, I had a man say to me, "Why do you call it soul winning? You don't win the soul." I just love it when people say the obvious to me like that, you know. And somewhere along the line, some smarty pants Baptist had told them that, so they thought they'd repeat it to me. "Why do you use the term soul winning? You don't win the soul." And how many of you realize we do not win the soul, right? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit touches someone's heart. The Holy Spirit draws men to Jesus Christ. We use the term soul winning because the Bible says he that winneth souls is wise. There is a point to be made that all of us are the human instruments who must engage someone at the human level. We must look them in the eye. We must speak to them. We must draw their attention to the Lord in order that the Holy Spirit can do the regenerating work within their heart. We are God's witnesses in this matter. And the phrase in verse 5 is telling because it says, "By whom ye believe." Let's say that again. By whom ye believe. So it's not in whom ye believed. We're not trying to win them to ourselves. It's by whom ye believed. So it was because of someone else that you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. That someone else did not save you. That someone else did not cover your sin. But it was by that someone else that you believed. Or it was because of that someone else that you heard the gospel. Listen, you are here tonight because somebody cared for your soul. Now it's your turn. By whom ye believed. That would indicate to me that there are people in your neighborhood and at our workplaces and people we'll meet this week that may come to know Jesus depending upon your heart and mine and your effort and mine toward them, because it wasn't about Paul or Apollos. They were very different, but the thing they had in relationship with one another was that together they were bringing people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I want to say there is no greater joy in life than helping to bring someone to Jesus. There's nothing like that. It's better than a job promotion. It's better than Disneyland. It's better than a new house or car. There's nothing like bringing someone to Jesus Christ and watching the Holy Spirit touch their heart and soften their heart and hearing them pray to accept Jesus as their Savior. All of us are witnesses to the fact that there is a risen Savior and that He's still saving souls today. Amen. So it's not about a class, a Sunday school class, or a ministry, or a division or department of the church. It's about all of us together getting the gospel out. We are partners in the harvest. Notice, secondly, not only the partners in the harvest, but notice the process of the harvest. How do we work together in this process? Verse 6 says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Now, in order to have a harvest, there first must be the time of sowing. I do not know what will happen in this auditorium. Next Saturday night is a service. Next Sunday morning, two services. I do not know what will happen. Now, I know essentially what I will preach. If the Lord continues to lead in the way that I believe He's been leading me, I will preach on how Jesus makes the difference in our life. Jesus is the greatest difference maker and how He changes everything. And I will preach next Sunday on how Jesus can change so many things in our life. He can change our identity. He can change our eternity. He can change our security. And I intend to preach the gospel next Sunday morning, but I don't know who will come and who might be saved. I don't know how many might be saved next week, but I can tell you this. It will be much correlated to the way that we labor together in sowing in the next 6 days. There's a correlation. Now, not to minimize the need for godly music and prayer and rightly dividing the word of truth next Sunday morning, but do you understand that if we're not sowing this week, then the Lord Jesus himself could give the message, but if there's not one lost person here, how does anybody get saved? So if there would be a harvest, then there must be a time of sowing preceding that harvest. 2 Corinthians 9 and 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And that's why, boy, everybody here, if you can, ought to get an extra bag of cookies or some extra tracts and be thinking of how we can just sow the seed of the gospel. Thank God I just saw a green tractor up on the screen tonight. It's called sanctification. It's growing in Christ's likeness through the sermon even. It's just amazing how that happens. A time of sowing. Can I have you turn to a verse that I have signed 1,000 times in writing letters to many of you? Turn to Galatians chapter 6 tonight. Galatians chapter 6. Because I know some of you, like me, you've been sowing for 30 years and 25 years and 40 years. And sometimes I even sense that though people don't say it audibly, there's some people who say something like this: you know, I've done my share of sowing. Let the young people do their sowing. I've been involved in all of this for a while. I'm just going to find something else to do now. Well, I want to remind you of the words of the Lord Jesus, but also the words of the Apostle Paul, Galatians 6, 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. All right? Let's read that together, shall we? And let us not be weary in well-doing, we shall reap. Who is it that you've invited before? Who is it that maybe you need to speak to again? There is a time of sowing. And then the Bible says in verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered. So there is a time of watering. And the wonderful thing about this is that without the watering and the cultivating, then there is no germination, there is no growth, there is no harvest. And God calls upon us to sow the seed, to water the seed. John 4:37, and herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereupon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. John 4:38, you are entered into their labors. It goes something like this. Someone's on a commuter bus, and they give a package of cookies and a card to a friend. That friend eats the cookies, and by Thursday forgot all about the card. But then the next door neighbor goes to them. And the next door neighbor says, listen, I just want to tell you about something happening at our church this weekend. Game Changer Sunday. We're going to hear from an NBA game changer, and our pastor's going to interview A.C. Green, and then our pastor's going to speak about Jesus and how he changes everything. And I want to invite you to be my guest. And now we're watering the seed that was just laying there. And now that seed begins to take some form. And now there's a harvest beginning to be prepared. Why? Because it's going to take more than one touch. It's going to take some care and some watering and some praying and waiting on the Lord. John 15 in verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. You see, as we abide in Christ, as we spread the seed of the gospel, then much fruit can still come. You say, but we live in a wicked time and people have hard hearts. I just want to tell you something. The Bible is still true. And much fruit can still come. When we work. But when we pray, God works. And we want to go out bearing this precious seed with a tear in the corner of our eyes that we might come again rejoicing and bringing our sheaves with us. And so we see tonight that we are partners in the ministry. Paul and Apollos. It wasn't about them individually. It was about collectively what they would do. And the process of the harvest, that involves the sowing and the watering. And that's why everything we do this week in the realm of prayer, in the realm of passing a tract, in the realm of soul winning, all of it cumulatively makes such a great difference. Then notice thirdly tonight, the product of the harvest. The product of the harvest. Now look at verse 6 again, please. I have planted, Apollos watered, But God gave the increase. Would you say that with me? But God gave the increase. One more time. Just the men. But God gave the increase. Now again, why has God chosen to use human instrumentality to sow the seed? I do not know. We are fickle. We are emotional. We are sometimes undependable. And yet God has asked us and told us and called us to sow the seed. And so we do. And so we will. And we've had a fairly good start this week. But there's much seed to be sown this next week. And I'm simply saying to you that God cannot bring the increase where no seed is sown. For it, without the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, there's no germination. There's no salvation. So God says, you do your part and I'll do my part. We do not believe in some fatalism or some fatalistic God who has doomed some to heaven and some to hell. We believe that God has called us to sow the seed. We believe that every man has the opportunity to accept or reject the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we must recognize tonight that God has a product in mind for the harvest. Now, first of all, that product will only be seen if we notice, first of all, see the reliance of laborers. And there must be a reliance of the laborers. Notice, first of all, in verse 6, on one another. I have planted, Apollos watered. Now, folks, just think about this for a moment. If someone plants, but then that seed never receives water, will there ever be a harvest, yes or no? No. If someone plants, but there is never water on the seed, there will never be a harvest for that particular seed. So we must then rely upon one another. We must recognize that if we say, well, someone else will have to do it this year, there is likely going to be a seed somewhere that is not germinated and is never harvested because we did not labor together with the Lord. And so we must recognize that a part of this product is the reliance one upon another. John 13, 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one for another. We ought to love one another. We ought to labor together with one another. We ought to pray together. We ought to pray for the choir. We ought to pray for the sound. We ought to be a part of the hospitality, the meal serving, all of it working together for the souls of men. We rely on one another. And let's not be that weak chain in the link. Let's all of us say, I'm going to sow seed. I'm going to water. I'm going to have part. But not only do we rely on one another, we must rely on the Lord. For verse 6 says it very succinctly, but God gave the increase. And oh, how we must pray as we go. How we must say, Lord, without you, we can do nothing. Lord, would you bless this track that I just put on this door? Lord, would you guide me as I give these cookies to someone? As simple as that might sound. How many of you know that God delights in blessing simple things? God used this in someone's life. And we must rely upon the Lord. And so there's the reliance of the laborers. But then notice, secondly, the reward of the laborers. The reward of the laborers. Now look at verse 8, please. It says, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Don't you love that? Striving together for the faith of the gospel. We are one giant team, if you will, going out into our community, laboring together for Christ. We are one. But then it says this, and every man shall receive, notice now, his own reward according to his own labor. So God's not going to say to you, good job, you're a part of Lancaster Baptist Church, and the church collectively led many people to Christ and sent many missionaries to foreign soil. It says we're laboring together, and God is very clear in verse number 8 that he that planteth and he that soweth are one. But then he says that every one of us individually will receive a reward, and this is referencing the judgment seat of Christ, and that we individually will be rewarded because God is observing. And God says to the churches of Asia Minor, I know your works. I know whether you were hot or cold, and some were lukewarm. And God is observing, and God will reward each individual his own reward according to his sowing and according to his watering. Now, friend, I believe as sure as I'm standing here, that there is a real heaven and a real hell. And if there is not, let's forget this whole thing of passing out cookies. Let's go home, eat the cookies, gain some calories, and forget it all. But if there's a heaven and there's a hell, there's no better way to spend your time this week. And if we truly one day will see the Lord and give an account, as 2 Corinthians 5 teaches, that we will stand and we will give an account to the Lord, then there is no better way to spend your time than by telling other people about Jesus Christ, because you will not be rewarded for my faithfulness and I will not be rewarded for your faithfulness, but every one of us will stand and we will give an account for our own faithfulness to the Lord, you see. So the reward of the labors is an individual award or reward that is given. Years ago, I preached my first sermon on a Sunday night here at Lancaster Baptist Church. I rehearse it with our new members when we have the core class every quarter. The text is Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast with one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That verse is above the fireplace in the foyer. That verse is given to every new member that joins this church. And I remind every new member that our purpose is with one spirit and one mind. And you cannot have one spirit without the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And you cannot have one mind without being in the book, the Word of God. And that with one spirit and one mind, we would strive together for one faith. Not many faiths, but one faith. The faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this week, we will labor together in the harvest field. And some will sow. And some will come by a little later and water what was sown. And someone might see a sign somewhere. They might get a track somewhere. And it's not about you and it's not about me. One will sow, one will water. It's about the Lord giving the increase. But He cannot increase that which we have not planted in the very first place. So I pray and I challenge you this week that wherever you might be, that you would look past the grocery checker label, that you would look past the El Pollo Loco servant label, or the In-N-Out Burger label, that you would look past the work uniform at the postal office or the hospital, and that you would see a living soul that will live and die forever and ever and ever somewhere. And then, when you see them in that way, that you would just sow some seed, that you would water that seed, that you would pray, and that you would say, Spirit of the living God, use me. Help me, Lord, to sow your seed, to water the seed. And Lord, would you give an increase next Sunday? May many be added to the kingdom because we sowed and watered and saw what you could do once again at Lancaster Baptist Church.